Listen, Lord, we just pray you just use this service, use the word to touch people's hearts so we have a better understanding of you and just be able to call on you and that, Lord, you would just give us great wisdom. And I pray that each heart would be open to receive. I pray you just touch my heart. I just speak the things of the Spirit and people could receive from your word. And again, we thank you for your word because you are our teacher, and it's through you that we have an understanding of this world, how to move forward in our eternal life and eternity with you. So we praise you, dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. How do y'all like my title? You wouldn't believe how, you know, much time I just processed and try to think of a title, you know, with this. I don't know why. It would just, you know, should put the first verse and go on. This is where we're looking at the book of James. We're looking at the book of James. And it's a little reminder even to this title. The book of James is like a New Testament book of Proverbs, okay? You got the book of Proverbs, the Old Testament, you got James, and it's like a book of Proverbs for the New Testament. And if you read James, it has a little different flavor to it from the rest of the New Testament books. It just kind of has a different flavor, kind of like Proverbs in the Old Testament, like cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. So it gives us that type of insight, and that's what, you know, the last several messages that we looked on it, it talked about James, you know, God was telling us about trials and what he's doing with trials and about wisdom and how we get wisdom and how he puts all of us on the same level as we come to him. So he's making those, you know, proverb-type statements to it. So why am I saying that? Because he does it again, okay? And it's very interesting how he lays this out in what he lays out in the book of Proverbs. And so we're going to continue studying of the book of James. Look at James chapter 1, verse 13. We're going to start there. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Now that's really inside. He doesn't tempt anyone. Can't be tempted, and he doesn't tempt anyone. See, God, and what we learn here, God never initiates evil to tempt us. So right off the bat, you know, we see that come. That wasn't God. He doesn't initiate evil to tempt us, and that's what's saying here. God has nothing to do with evil. He has nothing to do with evil. He abhors evil. And evil has no appeal to God. No appeal to God whatsoever. Okay? Yet, however, bad things do tempt us. All right? Bad things tempt us. And we often do bad things. Maybe you do, but I don't. My wife's going, time out. No, me like everybody else. Bad things do tempt us, and we often do bad things. Bad things. Now, what we see here, God says, I didn't have anything to do with it. He's talking to me. Wallace, I had nothing to do with this. All right, just to let you know. But what he does here, what James explains to us here, is why, when we're tempted, why we should never blame God. He's going to explain it to us, all right? So we're all on the same page, right? He's going to explain it to us. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. He's looking at this whole problem of being tempted. And in this world, it's full of temptations. We all are tempted. Well, look at James, verse 14 through 15. All right? God never tempts anyone. But, okay, the but is in the original language. I just bring that out. But means contrast. Contrast. God tempts no one. But. Each person tempts. is tempted, when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Oh, shoot. When he is lured and enticed by his own desire, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it brings forth death. Ah, that's where it comes from. And I can just, add God said, listen, don't blame me. Because no, I didn't have nothing to do with this. Well, who? He goes, you. You. All of us. It's, oh, my goodness. So, it is not God who tempts us, but our own desire. It comes from within. Now, when I read this, this is the whole human race. Okay, you go, oh my God, this is me. You're part of the human race. This is the whole human race right here. Okay, it comes from within. And by the way, we'll see the church is not exempt. Believers are not exempt, all right? It comes from within. Now, listen to this. This is important. Desire in itself is not sin. It's not sin, okay? Now, desire within itself is not sin. It is only when a person, by an act of the will, assents to its enticement that sin results. That makes sense? You assent to the enticement, and result, the sin is the result. Now, what James does, so this would be a fun trip, what James does, he lays out the slippery slope to the devastation of sin. Aren't you all glad you got to come in this morning and hear this? You know, you hear someone, oh my God, I just fell into sin. And no, you didn't. You didn't just fall into it. You may have sinned, but you didn't just fall into it. The devil made me do it. Nope, he didn't. He didn't make you do it. But it's like, well, that's not what I want. How did I get here? He said, okay, let me tell you. Y'all ready? Okay. What I did, I broke this up into four parts. Okay, I used this verse, but I broke it into four parts. And what God's trying to tell us, what he's doing, so like a book of Proverbs, he's telling us, okay, and the word slippery slope are mine. But what he did, he says, okay, this is how you get here. Here is the slippery slope to sin. You know, I just fell into sin. Nope. You walked into sin. You decided and went into sin. It didn't come upon you. All right? And so, again, in my term, so what we're going to see right now, we're going to look at the slippery slope ascent. This is what happens every single time. All right? And who has the possibility on the slippery slope? Every single one of us. Every single one of us. It's a message. Okay. Number one. Everybody taking notes? We got number one. Evil temptation is when we are lured and enticed by our own desire. Temptation, the awareness of a desire is not sin. You hear that? Temptation is not sin. Some people, God bless them, usually Christians, they tell you, and they say every time they're tempted, oh my God, I've sinned, and confess to God, and, just falling apart, and, and so if they're really taking this seriously, they should do this like 40 times a day, okay, But you've heard people say, oh my God, tempted, I've sinned, I've got to confess it. Temptation is not sin. No. You have just become aware of the possibility of sin. That's huge. I think this is huge for a Christian to understand as you walk through life, because everybody's going to be tempted. And when you see that, and when you see that temptation, you're becoming aware of the possibility of sin. You're like, uh-oh. Okay? So we're aware. That's not a bad thing. It's important as we go on this trip. That's number one. You ready for number two? Number two. When our desire is conceived, that's what's in the verse. When our desire is conceived, now, what do you mean being conceived? When our desire is conceived, being pondered, thought about, rolled around in our head, we are like feeding the beast. But we haven't engaged in the damage of sin. The words feeding the beast, those are mine. Because I apply that to myself, you know. The desire, and I can feed the beast, you know. And so, my desire is to starve the beast, but I feed him alive, all right? But what that is to conceive, it's you just thinking about it. You just roll it around in your head, see? Now, we may have sinned in our heart, but we have not physically sinned. We've rolled it around. We pondered it. It's conceived. We haven't physically sinned. Maybe sinned in our heart. This is a great time. This is a wonderful time to confess to God. Don't ponder. Confess. Oops. Okay, I see what that is, and you confess it. So it's a great time. This great time for confession. And you can see as you just normally walk through life. Okay. Then God, you just take care of that. Walk on. No issues. No issues whatsoever. But you ponder it. You play with it. You roll around in your head. I'm going to try to make this lighter. Maybe I shouldn't try to make it lighter. You know, how many of you have dogs? Dogs. See, aren't they great? I mean, they're great. Did you know they're a pain? But they're a pain. They're just pain. Linda, our dog passed away. I was sharing with somebody this morning. I like cried for 2 days. I mean, I was like, I said, this is a stupid dog. Why am I bawling about this dog? But they're like part of the family. You know, it's like that. So we're not going to do a dog. No, we're done. We're just too old. We're not going to do it. Love them, but we just won't go with that. But so we're not going to do it. But you ever get on Facebook, they throw up these puppies. Oh, my God, they're cute. It's just desire. Now, I'm not definitely going slippery slope to hell or anything, but it's a desire. Puppy. It's desire. It's a temptation. When I conceive, I'm going to ponder it. I'm going to look at more pictures of puppies. Oh, my God, are they cute. You know, and after a while, I got to have one of these puppies. Right? I've conceived in my mind, I need this puppy. You know? There's no reason. Now, there won't be any reason until I've had this puppy for about 6 months. And Linda says, you're walking it. You know, so she's checked out on the walk-in bed already. And so it's like, I'm going to have to confess to God. I don't need that puppy. All right? But you see what I'm saying? There's a difference what happens, okay? The desire, oh, that's a cute puppy. Those are nice. Nothing wrong with that. Oh, I love to have it. You know? And then it's like, I'll just look at puppy pictures. Yeah, it just gets worse that way until I'm out there. Then you go look at puppies. Oh, my God. Have you ever seen an ugly puppy? They may grow up to be an ugly dog, but they're not ugly puppies. Yeah. But see what I mean? You conceive that, you know, and that's the time to confess. That's okay. You know, God, no, that's not for me. Now, I don't think having a puppy is sin, okay? Just an example of that's how sin is conceived. See, that's how, but what's important about that, we know what's going on. See, now we know, okay, what's going on? I can't ponder that. Oh, God, you got to take that away. Immediately, the sooner you do it, the better off you are. And you just kind of learn to walk with it. And there's a freedom in the Christian life. You're not just beat down with, you know, oh, my God, I'm doing something wrong. You're doing nothing wrong. Okay? So we can have a peaceful walk in life with God without condemning ourselves. Right? We're just being human. We're just being human. All right? However, don't feed the beast. Don't feed the beast. Now, so this is a good time to confess to God. So that's two. Okay, that's two. We all deal with that. Then number three. Now here we have the number three on the sin. You have you tempted, it's conceived. Number three. When the action is initiated to accomplish our desire that came, what's up? We saw that puppy. Nobody else saw the puppy. I saw that puppy. Okay. When the action initiated to accomplish our desire, we give birth to sin. As I come home and I see that puppy and I buy that puppy and I have it under my arm, I said, Linda, I want to show you our puppy. She says, it ain't my puppy. And your puppy, your desire, you conceived that and you bought that out of your money. And so what we see, but what happens is once you conceive, then there's a physical action. Now here's it, physical action, and that gives birth to sin. The action gives birth to sin, all right? Now, what does that mean? That means the damage is done. The damage is done. I got the dog. The people won't take him back. Linda doesn't want him. I got this dog. Okay, the damage is done with this dog, all right? I'm going to have to rent another house and live in it to raise it. But I got this dog. You see? Okay, so that the damage is done when we take the action. Now, we can confess and be forgiven. Linda, would you please forgive me for not asking you and not telling you I spent so much money? You wouldn't believe how much money I spent on this dog. You know. And she can forgive me. We're hoping she'll forgive me. I think God will have quicker forgiving me than she will. But anyway, so you can ask for, you can confess it, say it's wrong, and ask for forgiveness. But the damage is done. Okay? So I am totally forgiven with this dog. I still have to walk this thing, feed this thing, and take care of this thing. It's mine. Have no help with it. Okay? So I am forgiven. And I will go to heaven. I'll probably have to go with this dog. I don't know. But I will go to heaven. Amen? I'm forgiven. I am forgiven. But the damage is done. I got the dog. So those are the three steps. And so what's good is it helps us to understand what's going on at any place. And then we can know how to deal with what's happening. And what's happening, this is a natural reaction to sin. Oh, the devil man. Oh, the devil didn't have nothing to do with it. You know, the devil, if he's looking at me and his demons, he says, watch this. Wallace's going to buy that dog. He's going to buy it. Watch it. This is going to be the funniest thing you ever saw. They don't have to do nothing. You know, nothing. He says, watch this. Oh, man, this is a hoot. You know, we can go mess with somebody else because Wallace is self-destructing with this. You see what I'm saying? That's right. Okay. By the way, I love dogs. Who is that? Now, so the damage is done. It helps us what's happening. And before God, how to deal with it. I mean, I can still confess and ask for forgiveness with the dog. Okay? So I still got this dog, but me and God are okay. It's just me and God and the dog. But we're okay. And that's what Jesus has done for us. And I'm sure I can train it up. He'll be a good dog and somehow, you know, anyway. But then there's another one here, number four. Number four, okay. When we nurture our sin, this is four. I mean, I've conceived sin. I got the dog. When we nurture our sin, we become our sin. Now, that's a tough one. When we nurture the sin, when we hang on to it and hold. Now, again, we hold on to it. We keep it. Okay? It's nobody's doing this. We're just keeping this. We're keeping it. So when we nurture our sin, we become our sin, bringing full-grown devastation. Full-grown devastation. What is the full-grown devastation? You know, but who did this to us? God, why did you do this? Satan did this. I didn't do this. You did it. You did it, okay? As long as you believe in me, we can't get through this at all because you did it. This dog is telling everybody more about me than anything else. See? So, when we nurture our sin, we become our sin, and it brings full-grown devastation. That's the consequences. Now, here's an example here. Like, and again, you pull something, I just won't pull something generic, but a truth. And so, here's an example. So, we can steal something and be forgiven. Okay? Oh, my God. You can steal it and be forgiven. Totally right. Wiped off the slate. Steal and be forgiven. But when we continue to steal, okay, forgive me. So we're going back. Forgive me again. No, you just, nothing. You're just going to keep stealing. When we continue to steal, then we start being known by the name thief. We become the name. You can call by the name. If I continually steal, if I steal one thing, I think everything and everybody, I just weep and cry and y'all forgive me. If I just keep stealing, then you say, you know, he's a thief. You'd call me by the name. I would earn it. You'd call me, not for one time, but for continuing to steal. I nurtured it and I became that. Be known by the name thief, and thief becomes my identity. Now, you see, thief becomes my identity. People can't look at me but think, no, he's a thief. It becomes my identity. Because it's the truth. Whose fault is it? I did this all by myself. The devil made me do it. No. The devil's just having a hoot. And he said, what's this guy? What's this guy self-destruct? And we can go work on other people. He's just doing a good job of himself. He's doing a good job on himself. And so... And so God is not to blame. We only have ourselves to blame. Now, why in the world is God giving us this? See, this, what happens here is the truth. That's what actually happens. God didn't do it. He didn't do it. Somebody knows Jesus, somebody didn't know Jesus, somebody read the Bible, somebody didn't read the Bible, whatever. This is what happens every time. So what God is doing, he's coming, he's saying, hey, folks, let me tell you, this is what happens so that we're smarter. Now we're smarter, and I don't want to let that happen. I know what's going on. I see where this is going. I don't want to let that happen. You see why he showed us? He said, I don't want you to do it because... If you don't know and you just live life, this is where it's going to go, and you're not going to figure out why you got there. Now I'm telling you, and you don't have to go there. Okay, I put it on the light side of it. Okay, the light side. For instance, like I turn the page, I'm on whatever, and I'm like, oh, look at the puppy. Look at the puppy. I know where this is going, over the horses or something else. We ain't looking no more puppies. You know, cut this thing off at the temptation. Stop. Why? Because I know, not because it's bad, it's because I know where it's going. See? Well, maybe just peek at the puppies. You know, and then because of the cute puppies, you know, and it's, gosh, wouldn't it be nice to have a puppy? I know where this is going. Man, I just stepped over the edge, and I want one of these puppies so bad I can't say, no, not doing it. I know, God, take this away from me. I can't do this, you know. Besides, Linda said she wouldn't walk it. No, not doing it. So I recognize it. See what I'm saying? God told us so we could recognize it. And it's like, well, you don't want to do this with this dog. You don't have the time. And so I said, okay. So I confess it to God and still good. We're still good. But once I buy that dog, I got that dog. You know? And so when you got the dog, you kind of got to recognize it. You still can confess, but you got to deal with the dog. You got to deal with the dog. Okay, and you understand, and so when your prayer, okay, God, I was disobedient, I got this dog, forgive me, but help me to walk through life and grow to you while I have this dog. You see what happens? So we know what's going on. We know what's happening. Also, you know what's happening. He said, no, I'm just going to nurture this dog and blame God the rest of my life. Okay, that's a choice. That's a choice. You know, that's an absolute choice. This junk, nurture it, and they'll be known. People look at, yeah, he's that guy with that dog. Pretty soon people just identify me with the dog. I'll come over and see them. They go, where's your dog? First, I wouldn't even say hi. They go, where's your dog? You know, why? Because that they identify me with that dog, because I am so possessed with that dog. They can't imagine me showing up without the dog, you know, without the dog. All right, the dog becomes my identity. But he was a cute little puppy. He's a cute little puppy. Sin's cute. Sin's cute. Sin, I just throw this in here, the divine. Sin is a cute little puppy. You know, and we got to look at that. So, no, no, can't do that. I know. But see, we know. We know. Now, so that's the whole reason God is showing. He wants us to know for our own benefit. I wish I didn't know this. Okay, that's fine. But you would go ahead and do this anyway and not know what you're doing. Everybody. This is everybody. This is everybody. Okay? And everybody can relate to this. Now, we actually have a couple of, well, the Bible is full of examples of where it actually happened, you know. I mean, like James is telling us, you know, this like a proverb. He's telling us so we'll understand. But the Bible has some good examples where we can kind of see the picture of how this unfolds. Now, again, this is for our protection, okay, our protection. One of them, which is just crazy, is Achan. Any of y'all know who Achan is? God bless Achan. Joshua invades Israel. He said, don't you take anything. Don't take anything, and we're going in, and God's going to supply for us. So Achan's going in with Joshua. And so he sees some stuff. He steals it. He just got that. I mean, they have like one commandment. Hey, we're going to conquer, and they don't take anything. Achan goes, nah. So he thought, well, here's what happened. So Achan gets caught. And so Achan has to explain to Joshua what happened. He has to explain to Joshua. I know. I mean, this is James 1 on steroids. Okay, listen to this. Joshua chapter, I'm no overhead on this. Joshua chapter 7, verse 21, it says this. This is what Achan says. He's explaining to Joshua why he stole this. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful, now what did he saw? He saw. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak and silver, a bar of gold, I coveted them. He conceived. He didn't walk in and covet it. He saw. Then he coveted. See, he coveted. Okay. When I saw them, I coveted them. And I took them. I saw, I coveted, I took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside of my tent. That's Achan. Okay, here's what a summary. one. He did all four of these, by the way. I wonder if you picked it up. He did all four. Okay. I saw desire tempted. I saw. I coveted. I conceived. Pondered it in my head. Number three, I took. There you go. The action. It was the action. I took. Action taken. Action taken. Number four, I hid. I hid. See, I'm getting away with this. I'm keeping it. I'm nurturing it. I hid. This is birth, full possession, destruction. They stoned to death Achan and his whole family. Call them all together as a group, and they stoned him to death. All right? His destruction. So, but that's what... But he did, what Achan did is what we all do. We all can relate to this. I mean, think I'm a little puppy. You know, I saw. I coveted. Then I took action. Then I just possessed it. It's a puppy. A little puppy. Puppies can't hurt until they grow up. And Linda won't walk him. Causes marital problems. God, why won't this woman walk my dog? Anyways, so you blame God or her. And anyway, well, here's another one. Now this one, you know, everybody knows the story about this one, but this is fascinating, as difficult as it is. Here's another story. And what's interesting about this story, it has to do with a believer, somebody who loves God. Love God. See, nobody's exempt, just like David. And the Bible said, in the New Testament, David said, David, a man after God's own heart, falls after taking the very same steps to sin as Achan took. Very same steps. The very same steps that James tells us. Let me read you the account. His army is at war, okay? David's army is at war. He's a general, mighty man of God, mighty king at war. Now, I always have that. David, you should have been with your guys. Okay, that's my thought. Anyway, he wasn't. He stayed home. The guys are fighting the war. So he's staying home. Man after God's own heart. 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 4. Listen to this. David was walking on the roof of his king's house. What are you doing? You should be at war, okay? By the way, ladies, I just want to tell you something. Your men should be at war. They shouldn't be in the living room. I'm just telling you, they need to be at war. They're going to fight a battle or do something like this. Okay? They're made to fight. If you don't, they'll fall into sight. Guarantee it. Now, David was a man walking on the roof of the king's house. David was walking on the roof of the king's house. And he saw from the roof a woman bathing. I want to tell you something. That's not sin. That's not sin. I saw a woman bathing. That's not sin. It's like, uh-oh. Pops up, that's a temptation. That's a temptation, okay? But it's not sin. He saw from the roof a woman bathing. And David sent and inquired about the woman. Conceived. Pondered it. Played with it. He inquired. See, it's conceived. So David inquired about the woman. So David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Now look here. You're everybody. Oh, how David, how many of you said it, and I've heard people, how could David do that? I have a better question for you. How could you do that? I mean, how could you do that? Wallace, I'd never do that. How many puppies you have? How many puppies you have? Right? Well, I don't have how many cats you have. how many cars you have, how many pairs of shoes you have, how many purses you have. You know, how many, you know, just let me in and I'll just put it in here. You see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that if people, this is how we function, and so we need to know what's going on. What's not going on. Okay, so he took her. So let me read this. David, what David did, he saw as desire tempted. No sin. He inquired. Roll that around in his head. He conceived. He conceived when he inquired. Didn't do anything. Hey, just checking this out. He conceived. Then he took action. He sent and took her. That's an action. Damage done. Damage done. I mean, you go back, inquire, conceive. Hey, check this out. You know, he fed the beast. It's like, oh, God. He should have said, oh, God, that's a temptation. Ooh, I don't need to be here. Okay. No sin. But think about it. Conceive. No. Feeding the beast. You're feeding the beast. There's no damage. Maybe in your heart you're sinning before God, but there's no damage here. God, forgive me. I need to walk away from this right now. I know where this is going. Lord Jesus, I know where this is going. You know, you're still like that. But then when he took action, the damage was done. Took action. Damage done. You're stuck with the puppy. You're stuck with the puppy. But nobody ever find out. I'll hide this puppy in the closet. That's kind of what David thought. I'll hide this puppy in the closet, you know. So, took action. Damage is done. Then, the last one, he lay with her. Okay? Birth, full possession, total destruction. Total destruction. Now, part when people say, how could David do this? By the way, how could you do that? I just count your puppies, okay? How could you do that? But just like they stoned Achan and his family to death, David, if you read the rest of those books, David suffers disastrous consequences, horrendous consequences. His kids killed each other, the rebellion filled them out, ran out of town. You know, I mean, it was disastrous consequences. All right? See? God said, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do that. See? Because this is what happened. I don't want this to happen to you. And so this is a helpful, and so it kind of helps you. Now, I'm it's sort of joking with Linda. But boy, would she be upset if I came home with a puppy. Oh, my goodness. I would probably have to rent a room from one of y'all. But the point of it is that when you walk through this, you go, oh, my God. It's not that next step. It's just not a casual step without any consequences. Oh, no, I can't go there. So it's right here. So I can't go there. What should David done? You're on this route. Okay, out of here. You know, out of here, immediately. That's what it should have been. But he didn't. He kind of hung around. You know, he conceived. See, well, we want to, no, out of here, because, no, out of here, and we're going on, good with Jesus. Now, once it's, once the action is taken, and we confess it, we're still good with Jesus, but now we got to work through the rest of our life. That dog with us that grew up. See? So we're still good. And God said, David is a man after my own heart. He loves me, but boy, he messed up. But he loved me. And you can't, these are natural things that fall out. You can't do that whether you love me or not. You can't do that. You see, that's what he's saying. I know you love me, but you can't do that. I mean, I think I love Jesus with all my heart, and I go home to Linda, and I bring a puppy. Oh, man, like I said, we're going to have marital problems. You know, like, you're the dog. God, I can't throw this dog away. Look at it. Poor puppy. I mean, that's cruelty. You know. But we have to work through that. You know. And this stinking dog grows and grows and grows. And he's a grown dog. He's not even pretty anymore. He's just one of those ugly dogs. Just grew up to be an ugly dog. And slobbers all over the place. You know. And it's just like, oh my God, you know. So. But I'm still good before Jesus. But I got to take care of this dog. Okay? So this is all God's telling us. And so he's trying to help us. That's all he's trying to do. He is trying to help us. Now, right here. How this starts out, how James starts out for us. He starts out and says, don't blame God when we fall into evil. We didn't fall into evil. We got there of our own free will. Don't blame Satan. He's tickled pink at watching the show because he didn't have to do anything. Don't blame God when we fall into evil. God is not the author of evil. Instead of sending temptation, God is a giver of every good and perfect gift. That's what God, he gives every good and perfect gift, all right? Nothing but good comes from God. Now look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. This is incredible. This whole thing about the sin. Then look at James chapter 1, 16 through 17. My dear brothers and sisters, do not be fooled about this. Understand, God doesn't do anything good. That comes from your own heart. You're not dealing with it. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Every good action and every perfect gift is from God. These good gifts come down from the Creator of the sun, moon, and stars, who does not change like shifting shadows. He wants to give us every good and perfect gift. David is on the roof watching this lady at bathe. God's going, I want to give you every good and perfect. I want to give it to you. What are you doing? What are you doing? We're still in the kingdom. He still loves us. I get grief. But we got a dog. Just going to grow up. All right. So rather than acting destructively, God acts constructively. I mean, that's what he's doing. See, we all relate to sin. You know, I don't even have to have a hand raised, but we all relate to sin. But what we need to relate that every good and perfect gift comes from God, and he's given it to us, just given it to us. He's kind of saying, get off the roof, give it to you, you know, get off the roof. God is perfect. His actions and gifts are perfect. See, that's what he's doing. He's doing. If he had one thing to say to David, he's going, David, get off the roof. I got to get off the roof. See, it's David. And that's it. So here's a spiritual thing. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Now see, we have this picture of how we can slip. Okay. We have this picture of how we slip. He says, but every good gift from me. And it says, understand who you are. David, understand who you are. James 1:18. Of his own will, God brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I've given you everything. I want to give you everything. Every perfect gift. I want to give it to you. Okay, God, can I just have one more glimpse? What are you doing? God's going, what are you doing? See, that's all that's going on. Oh, he's going to send us help. No, he's not. He's just going to make us live with this puppy. Live with this puppy. By his own. Now listen to this. It's so fascinating. God, by his own deliberate choice, gave us life. He gave us life through his word, so we might be the most important thing he ever created. That's what that verse says. You're the first fruit of all creation. You're the most important thing I ever created. The term here, very interesting, first fruits, comes from an Old Testament. It comes from the Old Testament where they'd have the harvest, and the first part of the harvest, they'd take a bundle like of the wheat, and they'd dedicate it to God, and they'd wave it. They called it a wave offering, and they'd wave it. And what that first fruit means, it was referred to the first portion of the harvest given to God. And then after they waved this before God, this first fruit was a picture of the harvest that God was going to abundantly produce. If you're a first fruit, I'm going to abundantly produce. I'm going to abundantly produce through you. You're the first fruit. You're perfect. I'm giving you every good gift. It says, you, I'm waving it. You're the first fruit. I'm going to produce through you. And David goes, I just want one more look. You get every good and groof, you know, and I'll take you and I'll use you. You and that dog. You and that dog. You know. God, why'd you give me this dog? Blame God. Why did you give me this dog? How many of you have said that? Why did God? God goes, I didn't give you that dog. You work for that dog. See? So, through us, his first fruit, God purposely sets his recreation, his kingdom, into motion. Did you know that? God is setting his kingdom into motion through us, his recreation. Those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and who are forgiven, he calls it, we are born again, we are recreated, and we are his kingdom, and he is starting his recreation through the church. That's the reason he says his answer is in the church, because his people are in the church. See, his answer is in the church. And I can't help but say it. Forgive me for saying it. He said, my answer is, he's saying his answer is in the church, and therefore the solution is in the church. And our previous governor, Northam, when we had COVID, he says, the church is non-essential. Don't go. Now that's demonic. That is demonic. See, anyway, I didn't mean to go there. But just when I have the opportunity, I love doing that. Anyways, so we are the first ripe fruit of God's new creation, promising the new full harvest to come. He has special things for each one of us. But we got to hook up with him. Got to get off the roof, you know. And he said, I want to do things through you, and I'm going to do things through the church. And each one of you who've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior has unlimited potential by God himself. Each one of you. Look at your situation. Whatever situation you're in. I don't care who you are. Look at what situation you're in. God is good to you. He is good to you. But, no, there ain't no buts. He is good to you. You're part of his recreation. He's going to do something great through you. By God's own will and desire, he gave you life. See, this is how God, I gave you life by the word of truth. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're forgiven. I gave you life. All right, I gave you life. That means I'm alive in you. I'm alive in you. He gave us life by the Bible. So, and based on this verse here, he gave us life. So, here's the so. This is why. You ready? Why did he give you life? Why did he give you life? So he could give you every perfect gift. Every good gift. That's what he wants to do. That's why he created you, to give you every good. This is my picture of me. This is my recreation. I want to give him every good gift. David, get off the roof. Good. Crazy. And I think in contrast, that's what we're dealing with. Every good, perfect gift and being on the roof. Still going to heaven. Some of us have dogs, some of us don't have dogs. It's still going to happen, you know? Why? Why? God has a glorious purpose for us. That's the reason he says this. See, we hear this verse and it becomes mundane. You know, most of us can memorize it and we say, oh, da, da. But this is the reason he gave us this verse. Well, look, listen to the depth of what he's saying. You are special. I want to give you every good and perfect gift. Gift. John 3:16. For God so loved you, he so loved the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I'm going to give you everything. Jesus, he took all the sin so I can give you everything. He took everything, including that stupid puppy you're taking to heaven with you. You know? Jesus, I'll let you take that puppy to heaven with you. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us more than we can ever imagine. It's just, and then you want to do a mighty work within us. You want to teach us, and you want to care for us, and you want us to prosper in every situation in the fullness of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ from within, to love the Lord Jesus from within, with all our heart to love the Lord Jesus. And through that love, he will work through us to do everything he desires. And as he works through us to do what he desires within us, he will work the circumstances around us to bring in, to fulfill his desires. He's at work in us first, around us second. All we have to do is say, Dear Lord God, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that he paid the penalty for my sins, and I am forgiven, and I have a home with you for eternity. In the name of the Lord Jesus, everybody said, amen. Amen.